Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy. Recording is 2:42 p.m. That is Pacific Standard Time. Today is January 21st. It's Martin Luther King Day in the USA, so the markets are shut here. But there were a number of headlines in the UK that were noteworthy in here today. The first is that Theresa May is ruling out a second referendum. So she's certainly very intent upon passing the deal that she agreed with the EU, but she's obviously going to go back and try and get a better one. So that, I think, does increase the potential that the deadline for Brexit is going to be extended. Of course, that has been the fear of the hardline clean break Brexiteers all along, and with good reason, I suspect, that there is the potential that the can will continue to get kicked down the road indefinitely. Well, there was another headline in here today, and it was centering around the property market. The CEO of Citadel Investment Management has spent £95 million for a place near Buckingham Palace, and that was a substantial discount on the asking price. That came very clearly in line with a news headline saying that London house prices are back where they were in 2015. But I thought this chart, the nationwide house price index for London, gives the lie to that particular headline, because in fact people in London have experienced almost no profit erosion. The price has been largely static for the last 3 years, and there has been a spectacular gain, considering that this index started off in the mid-1970s at 17, and now it's near 700. That is one of the most impressive performances we see in any major asset class. Well, what I also thought was interesting is if we look at the pound over the same period, well, then we get an interesting picture, because the pound has just about halved over the same time frame. The vast majority of that decline, though, happened in the 1970s through to 1985, and since 1985, the pound has been largely range-bound. And of course, it has had a significant decline since 2008, but nonetheless, it is not at new lows relative to where it was back in 1985. Now, if we start to then look at what a currency-adjusted price might look like, well, I created a custom index on Bloomberg, and then we get a very interesting picture, because if you go back and remember what that nationwide chart looked like, it went up and then it went sideways for a number of years, and then it went up again, and then it went sideways for 6 years after the credit crisis, and then it went up again. But we now have very clear evidence of acceleration after the credit crisis. That's graphic evidence of asset price inflation as a result of quantitative easing. And the Brexit decision put a hiatus on that acceleration. And in US dollar terms, prices have pulled back meaningfully. And now the big question is both what is going to happen with the property price, because it is now an electoral issue, and there have been measures implemented to try and bring down the property price, everything from raising the stamp duty and then of course you've had more building of housing in London. In particular, there have been a substantial number of new residential towers that have been put in, specifically to appeal to the higher income side of the market, and those in particular are coming down in value. But then, of course, it's all about Brexit. Well, that's the really big question, because if we then zoom in and look at how has the pound been doing, well, there is, of course, still potential that we could have a hard Brexit, but that is not what the euro pound rate is telling us. This looks like a base formation. So I think that is one of the more important characteristics. Then I think what's interesting, and it's going to be worth keeping an eye on tomorrow, is what happens with copper. It was up in a reasonably dynamic manner last week, and Now the bigger question is whether it is going to be able to push back above the trend mean, because in China today, what you had was Xi Jinping talking to the Party Congress and saying that there are some serious dangers to the economy. Well, it is interesting that the A-share index was in positive territory in here today. And it is firming from that 2500 point level, which represented the upper side of the underlying base formation between 2012 and 14. So this is a natural area where we might anticipate some support, and there has certainly been a loss of downward momentum. And with the communist administration believing that there are serious dangers posed to the economy, and not least because growth is slowing, and growth slowing for a middle-income country like China is not at all surprising. It's in fact to be expected. You can't grow at 10% a year indefinitely. It becomes progressively more difficult to do the larger the economy becomes. If we're looking for 10% growth rates, or where is the next region that could potentially achieve those rates? Well, I think we probably have to start looking at India and parts of Africa. But China is extraordinarily unlikely to be able to achieve those growth rates in future. They're going to have to contend with slower growth rates. But of course, 6% on an economy the size of China is still in GDP, nominal GDP terms, substantially more than 10% would have been a number of years ago, just by the base effect. But for a country like China that has depended on leverage and growth to overcome that leverage, then that represents a significant challenge. That is the really big issue for China today, that they can't continue to add leverage at the same rate if they can't achieve the same growth rates in terms of GDP. So that is where we are with China, and now the big question is how much of a stimulus are we going to get? What we are definitely starting to see is some support coming in for the banking sector. But the banking sector certainly has some additional, I think, proof to put in that this is more than a short-term low. The Nifty index in India today was in positive territory, and it is continuing to firm from the region of the trend mean. This is the next candidate for fiscal stimulus, not least because we have a new central banker. The Brazilian market is looking a little bit overbought in the short term, and it was in mildly negative territory in here today. But again, this is a country that's been giving the benefit of the doubt by investors because they have a new reform-minded administration that is market-friendly. And Bolsonaro is in Davos at the moment, and he's probably not going to have a great deal of competition for the speaking podium because a lot of the other big name leaders from around the world aren't present. But the very fact that some of the big name leaders are not present is really a testament to the uncertainty that we have, particularly in Europe, but also the government shutdown in the USA, which hasn't really had an effect on the market. And then, of course, you have the slowdown that you've had in China. Now, when we look at what's going on in Japan, the market was in positive territory in here today, but only just. And it's coming back towards the region of the lower side of that overhead trading range. So this is the first area of potential resistance for the index. And it really does need to push up and through the trend mean, in fact, to really indicate that we're back in a demand-dominated environment beyond the short term. When we look at Australia, then we get a very similar result that it has almost complete, well, in fact, it has unwound all of its overextension relative to the trend mean, and now the question is whether it can push through and beyond that before consolidating. So we're at a very interesting period, not just for some of the Asian markets, but we have a very similar condition on just about all markets. So that's clearly a big deal in here. The DAX index and Europe generally is certainly lagging, and So far, this rally has been relatively equal-sized compared to the other kinds of declines we've had in this downtrend over the last 13 months. So we need to see more than that. We need to see at least a break in the succession of lower rally highs and a sustained move above the trend mean to confirm more than short-term bounces. Palladium prices, having accelerated higher over the last few weeks, have now pulled back by for two consecutive days, and it has been months since we've seen it pull back for two consecutive days. Well, we've definitely had an acceleration, and now we're getting a pullback. So this is raising the potential that we're ready for a reversion back towards the mean, and the mean is approximately $250 below where we are today. So there is substantial room for some pause of consolidation in palladium prices. Natural gas has been subject to quite a lot of volatility, and it was down 24 cents in here today. And not on any particular news. There's certainly plenty of supply around, but there's also very cold weather. And the cold weather should trump the supply issue in the short term, although perhaps not in the medium term. But nonetheless, it is pulling back, and it's going to have to bounce soon if the rebound is going to remain, I think, credible. Oil prices have also had a very large pullback and have been rebounding, and they were in very mildly positive territory in here today, and they are continuing to unwind that oversold condition relative to the trend mean. Well, this is a very similar situation to what we have in stock markets, that we've had this very big decline and we're getting a reversion back to the mean, and then the big question will be asked whether that is the extent of the rally or whether we are going to see a turn to medium-term demand dominance. And it's exactly the same thing with the Treasury market. So US 10-year Treasuries were in mildly positive territory in here today, and they have ample room in which to consolidate. This has been a very meaningful rally in the government bond prices. It's really the biggest and it's certainly the most abrupt rally we've seen in quite some time. So if it's going to fail, it will at least need to sustain a move below the trend mean, and we haven't seen that yet. So that also is a testament to just how much uncertainty there is, considering how much additional supply of bonds we can anticipate over the course of the next couple of years. So we are still in an environment where we had a very clear pullback. We're getting this reversionary rally, and certainly there has been some short covering coming through. But the much bigger picture is that liquidity continues to tighten, and we need to see that trajectory of tightening is arrested. Now, the market has certainly been pricing in the potential that the Federal Reserve is going to stop raising interest rates this year, and potentially are unlikely to raise rates again and may even be cutting them next year. That is contributing to a substantial rally. The more the stock market rallies, the greater the potential is that the Federal Reserve will, in fact, raise interest rates. So there is a bit of a push and pull to this whole argument. But for the moment, at least, the stock market remains reasonably firm. And as long as that remains the case, then people are going to be pretty sanguine, I suspect. And the VIX index is back below 20, and it's coming back down towards the lows put in between October and December. So this is a natural area where we might anticipate some support starting to come through as it tests that 15 area once more. Well, what that also suggests to me is that we have replaced a short-term oversold condition with a short-term overbought condition, and it is inevitable that we're going to get some consolidation of these moves in the not-too-distant future. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.